history, understand that this independence, this fight, was a long shot. Our founding fathers and those who led this battle for independence knew not only did they stand to lose everything they owned, had worked for, the very security of their family, those they loved, was in jeopardy, but more than likely would lose their very lives. And the war, the battle, did not go particularly well, and then towards the tail end of it, the French got involved and brought sea power towards the coast, towards forces. Finally, the tide turned, and of course, we know the rest of the story, but it was a long shot. And all odds makers agree that a man by the name of Lee Capps ought to be dead, and that he was involved in a long shot. I don't know if you remember this story, but it was a short while ago. Lee didn't know how to fly. He went up in a private airplane with a friend. His friend is a pilot. They get up to cruising altitude in the small private plane, and his friend, who is controlling the plane, has a heart attack, dies, and slumps over on the controls. And here is Lee sitting next to him, not having any idea what to do. So he grabs a radio, he cries out for help. He had seen his friend use the radio. An air traffic controller hears his cry from Renton, Washington, and says, "Lee, today is your lucky day. Not only am I an air traffic controller, but I'm a flight instructor on the side. Lee, would you be interested in a few flying lessons?" Well, being otherwise unoccupied, Lee said, "I think I would." So the air traffic controller shares some basic maneuvers, has Lee get comfortable with the controls, and finally he says, "Lee, I think you know you're only going to have one shot at this landing. It's your only hope. It's a long shot, but we've got to give this thing a try." So he talks Lee through the descent. He has him point the plane at the right angle and level his wings and read the dials. And I don't know if you remember seeing the clip on the network news. It wasn't pretty. The plane came in kind of like a drunk duck or goose or something. It was very awkward. He hit pretty hard. He made a hard landing. But Lee Capps walked away with only minor injuries. And all of the news coverage of the story was speaking to the air traffic controller guy. And they would ask him the same question. "You know, just between us, did you think you could talk this guy down that had no flying experience, and did you think he would walk away from it?" And over and over and over in every story, the traffic controller would say, "I knew that this one was a long shot." Lee Capps defied all the odds, and I don't know if you've thought about it much, but there is an entire industry, business, professions, in things just like this. A lot of people who by profession are odds makers and actuaries and can actually tell you in situations like this what is exactly going to happen. People who figure out life insurance tables, all the different insurances that you and I pay. Operators of casinos, stockbrokers, people that run stock markets. They actually make their living, and what they want to do is they want to sort out the long shots from the sure shots and hedge their bets with the sure shots. For example, did you know this? There are people who can tell you that your car is 38 times more likely to get stolen if it's a Corvette as opposed to a Ford. That's true. And if you're still driving a Ford Pinto wagon these days, it is mathematically impossible for it to be stolen. You can leave the keys right in the ignition. Don't bother locking it. Statistical impossibility. People can tell you mathematically that you're 10 times more likely to get injured riding a bike than driving a car. Thought that was interesting. The odds are greater that you will fall out of bed, hit your head, and die than you will win the lottery in any state in this nation. You're twice as likely to get hit by lightning than to win the lottery in any state in this nation. So some people make their living by figuring out odds like this and setting things in place, and usually they're very accurate. And the odds makers would have bet against Lee Capps, but he defied all the odds. He was a long shot, but he paid off. And in the same way, there are odds makers, I would fathom to guess, in Jesus' day, that would have said, like it or not, wrong or right, he's done. He is not coming back from the grave. He is not going to be raised to newness of life. When he dies on that cross, it's over. Jesus' resurrection was a long shot. Our adversary was orchestrating and doing everything he could to bring about the death of Jesus Christ. Call it a million-to-one shot, but Christ defied all the odds. He came back from death, the first one to do it. There is that empty tomb in Israel that we had the picture some weeks back to prove. It is still there, and it stands witness to this day to the historical reality that defying all the odds, Jesus died, was buried in that tomb, and yet came back to life. And those who were eyewitnesses, those who saw Jesus after his resurrection, all of those accounts have been preserved to this day, not only in the pages of Scripture, but in extra-biblical references like the works of Josephus and others. And so, day after day, year after year, ever since that, millions of people have experienced inner spiritual transformation and had their lives changed physically, mentally, emotionally because of that long shot. Because they have trusted in the risen Christ who defied all odds and came back to life. And it just baffles the skeptics and the agnostics and the unbelievers who think that this Christianity thing has run its course and should have gone away long, long ago. But instead of that, in fact, it's growing strength, particularly in third world countries and Hispanic countries, where God is just doing miraculous works in his church and people to coming to Christ like we've never seen. Well, what I want to talk about as we close this series, and we've been focusing the last few weeks, is we look at the resurrection once a year on the high holy day, you know, Easter, Resurrection Sunday. We all pay homage to it. But what are the implications of that resurrection miracle that happened at that point for your life in a day-to-day basis? That's what we've been focusing on. So I read Romans 8:11. You see it in your outline there. You can keep Romans 8 open if you want. There's some good verses there, but if you think Jesus' resurrection defied all the odds makers, you're right. If you thought this was a long shot when it took place and what people viewed about it, you'd be right. Do you see the scripture on your outline? If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, in other words, God's Holy Spirit that raised that lifeless body of Christ from death and put life back into it, if that Spirit is living in you, and as a believer, God's Spirit is in you, then he, God, who raised Christ from the dead, will also give that resurrection power, that divine, supernatural, spiritual ability and power, will give life to your mortal bodies, fleshly bodies, through his Spirit that lives in you. In other words, that very same power that raised Jesus from the dead, what Paul is saying is that is available to you, and he talks about it in Romans 8. It is available to you, and every follower's life can become a long shot. No matter what you have to overcome, no matter what you're facing, no matter what the odds are that are stacked against you, because of that resurrection, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead will give you the power to defy the odds and the resisting forces and the things that stand as obstacles in your life every morning when that alarm goes off. So you have to ask the question. Do you feel that the odds are stacked against you in life? Is there some issue? Is there some area? Or maybe do you know personally of someone in your family or circle of influence that the odds are really against that individual? And truth be told, there are believers gathering on this Lord's Day in churches all around this country and all around this world who have lost hope along the way because of things that life throws at them. They have lost the faith in the ability to believe that a long shot could ever happen in their life. And God says, no, wait a second. That's part of the deal. The resurrection should remind us that long shots still happen, but it also reminds us that they can happen in your life, that God has that power available to you. So I want to kind of play the role of spiritual air traffic controller this morning and get you familiar with the dials and the controls, give you a little encouragement and spiritual instruction, maybe enough in combination with that seed of faith to believe that you can overcome the odds, whatever the situation is at hand, and that whether they're stacked against you or not, you can take this thing in for a landing and walk away. So I want to talk about some groups of folks, people just like you and me, who have odds stacked against them. Maybe some sitting right here. The first you see in your outline there, those who grew up in a family that didn't work well. I don't know about you, but in 20 years of ministry, I have met person after person after person whose lives are weighted down every day. The person that they are and how they react to situations, how they view their world, is affected because they grew up in a family that didn't work very well. I'm not talking about just dysfunctional families. We're all dysfunctional. I'm talking about some very serious, hard things that they grew up in the midst of. There are people who sink into the sea of hopelessness because of a sense that something got broken inside of them in the growing up years, and there is no fixing it. And they're starting to believe that what is broken in them is unfixable, that what is lost can never be restored, that those wrongs can never be made right. And there are an alarming number of people, some of them believers, that walk around feeling like damaged goods. Some eventually stop believing that they can overcome the odds, that they can be a long shot, that they can be an overcomer and break that cycle. And so they live right at the edge of despair, right one step away from the abyss. Growing up in families where raging went on, where physical violence went on, where mental abuse went on, where all these different things. Folks who grew up with an absence of nurturing love and having that, feeling that, or having that modeled for them. And they just haven't been able to get over that and process that in a constructive way and move on with life. And what they need to understand is even for them, that resurrection power is available. But if I'm going to be that spiritual air traffic controller this morning, I have to be able to say to you just what that guy said to Lee Capps. You've got to point this thing towards the ground, and you've got to give landing a try. Resurrection power is available to you, but you have to appropriate it. You have to move out of a stuck position, maybe with regard to a past or a family that didn't work well, but you've got to take a step of faith, God says. You've got to walk towards that hope. You've got to walk towards that wholeness. You have to appropriate, take that step of faith, use God's power. This has more to do with salvation, folks. It has to do with Christian wholeness, and Paul spends chapter after chapter talking about just what that is and how important it is. And if we're going to defy the odds and the power of the resurrected Christ, then we have to make up our minds on this day to make spiritual development the absolute priority of our lives, because that's how we get that power. We figure out what the Bible means when it says you can join a spiritual family, the brotherhood of the saints. You can get reparented by a heavenly Father that loves you unconditionally. You can take that step of faith, or you can turn to the world for help. Someone told me they were going to call one of those psychiatric counseling hotlines. He was really hurting. Later he told me he did, and it didn't help. He got this automated voice response. If you're obsessive compulsive, please press 1 repeatedly. If you're codependent, please ask someone else to press 2. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you're paranoid delusional, we know who you are and we're tracing your call. If you're schizophrenic, listen carefully and a little voice will tell you what number to press. And if you're manic depressive, it doesn't matter what number you press, no one's going to help you. Well, that's the help of the world, folks. And obviously that's not much help at all, but resurrection power is available for you if, like Lee Capps, you take a step of faith, reach out, and play the odds. Look at your outline. There's a second group, folks, that are in desperate need of a long shot. Some that need healing because they've experienced a devastating loss in their life. Some are seriously questioning whether life will ever be the same again. Some folks who maybe have lost loved ones recently, spouses of decades recently, who have lost marriage partners, the love of their life, who have lost children, or children to the agony of divorce. Some have lost employment. Some have lost financial fortune. All the things of the last few years of losing homes and jobs and savings. Some are losing health. They're wondering if they're even going to be around this time next year. And the Bible would remind you and remind us that there is a loving God that sees your plight, that understands exactly where you're at and what you're going through, and cares for you more than you can know. The psalmist put it down for us. He said that God collects your tears and puts them in a bottle. He couldn't bear the thought of a single teardrop coming from your eye, going unnoticed or uncollected. So the Bible says that there is a loving Heavenly Father reaching out to you with hands of healing and consolation. Remember those words of Christ. Come unto me if you're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you've got to come. You've got to turn away from the edge of the abyss and sadness and darkness. Take that step of faith. Reach out to those nail-scarred hands that are reaching out to you with consoling love. And I know it sounds like a long shot, especially in the midst of grief and despair and agony, especially in the middle of a loss. But the resurrection says, if anything, there is triumph over darkness. There is triumph over loss. There is even triumph over death. I paved that way for you, and it is available for you, Christ says, if you take that step of faith and appropriate it by faith. Some folks aren't getting over families that didn't work well, and God says, I can help you do that. Some folks can't get over devastating losses in their life, and they're crippled, and God says, I want to bring you to Christian wholeness. And then look at the third group, those crippled by a destructive secret habit. There are many all around us, and we live in an addictive society, that need a long shot because there's a secret habit, there's a crippling, destructive pattern going in their lives that they just can't seem to shake, and it is ruining their employment and their marriages and their children's relationships. Other people don't know about it, and if they did, that person would probably want to crawl in a hole and die. They have this hopeless feeling, and there's not much worse to feel like something's got a grip on you. It's a destructive pattern that's slowly ending your life, and you are powerless to break free from it. It just redefines hopelessness, and so often our response is just get over it, kick the habit, just stop doing it. That's a natural thing to say. Listen to this one addiction research study. Just a quick paragraph. Scientists did an experiment where he made cocaine available to monkeys. So he had monkeys in these cages, and all they would simply have to do is pull a lever, and they would get this pellet of cocaine. The experiment went on. Obviously, the monkeys got addicted to cocaine. The scientists discovered that if these monkeys were given free access to every time they pulled the trigger, they would get their little pellet of cocaine, and they would have free access to get additional cocaine hits anytime they wanted. Just by pulling that lever, every one of them overdosed. They kept pulling it and eating that cocaine until they died. Monkey after monkey, year after year. But what is even more interesting is what happened when an addicted monkey was ready for its next fix, pulling the lever, getting its little hit of cocaine, but the lever would be stopped or the pellet wouldn't come. Do you know how many times the average monkey in the experiment would pull or yank at that lever to get the next fix? 12,800 times. Over and over, that little monkey would just pull that lever saying, gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it. No wonder people that are addicted to drugs or alcohol or food or gambling or sex or work, and they finally reach a point where they say, I have lost any hope of getting free. No wonder they just cash out at a certain point and say, I'm a hopeless case. The Bible says, look, even if no one else knows, but you know there is a power that is gaining the power or control over you. Scripture says, don't lose hope. If there is air in your lungs and blood moving through your veins, you are a candidate for liberation. Because that very same power that broke death's hold over Jesus Christ is available to those who have no power to break free themselves. But you've got to believe, because of the resurrection, because of that power, that a long shot can still happen in your life. And again, as a spiritual air traffic controller, I'd have to say that all the power in the world is to of no avail unless it is accessed. And so you've got to walk in the direction of freedom with your hand outstretched to the one that can set you free, and that is Jesus Christ. Finally, let me reference the last group you see, often overlooked when we talk about those who need God's resurrection power in their life. That's four. Those with the case of the ordinaries. I run in all the time, even believers in church, and they have given up hope on a dream they had maybe as a child. Maybe it was a musical performance or a sports performer or whatever it was that they had dreamed or hoped they would be, or their life hasn't turned out maybe like they thought it was, and they figured out pretty early that they're not going to discover the cure for cancer or end world hunger or save the rainforest or establish peace on the planet. And so a case of the ordinary set in, and they set in deeply. These are good folks, often good believers. They vote, they pay their taxes, they raise their kids, but their dreams have slowly faded over time. Their youthful ideas have been exchanged for survival tactics, and they just want to get through their week. They live in the mediocre middle of life, of existence, and they are convinced that before the grass grows over their grave when they die, they will be forgotten. And shortly after Jesus' resurrection, he stood before a group just like this. He stood before a group of people who were shattered, who were literally powerless. They couldn't function because they had a case of the ordinary. And Jesus said this to them, soon the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and with that power you will become witnesses to my transforming power, and against all odds you will play a pivotal role in turning the world around life by life. Those ordinary people were the apostles, and they were just ordinary. They were ordinary guys like you, you, and you. They had in their circle of family and friends those who were facing eternal destiny separated from God, and they got the power of God in their lives. And Jesus says, just like them, you, life by life, will be able to help family and friends in your circle of influence. People who are drowning in guilt and shame will find forgiveness and a clean conscience through what Jesus did on the cross. And when you, even with a case of the ordinaries, have God's power in you, and you are changing eternal destinies like that, life by life, you will help people change their lives, find forgiveness. People whose hearts are bitter and have hateful experiences in their lives that will be transformed by God's transforming love and will turn their cruel hearts and their bitter minds into compassionate hearts and open minds. You'll help people do that, and it will change their life, life by life. You will introduce people into the wonderful elements of the fellowship of the saints, of Christian community. You'll invite people out of isolation and loneliness and despair and into groups where they can be known and know others and be loved and love and serve and be served. You will celebrate and be celebrated. That will change people's lives, life by life. You will replace the terror that some people have at the thought of dying, because they will now be assured of their salvation. You will replace that confidence with the eternal life in heaven, with God forever through what Christ did on the cross. And that will not only change their lives in eternity, but it will change their lives on this side of life. Jesus said to ordinary people, people that were crushed because of what happened to him and maybe what they did, the apostles, and he says to you, ordinary people, you will do that. And as you do, your life will be catapulted out of the mediocre middle of existence. Your case of the ordinaries will be banished forever, and you can say, I get the great privilege to be involved in advancing the kingdom of God and being involved in eternal things. And you can live each day of your life with an ennobling vision, one that pulls you out of bed, out of that muddled middle of life, and you will get the sense that your life is playing a pivotal role in turning the world around, even if it's just one life at a time. Jesus' listeners that day, just with a tiny seed of faith, who thought they were washed up, they said, yes. Let's try moving towards that. We believe that it might be done through us, that ordinary people, that our lives could be long shots and God could use someone like me. And they did it. We're in church today because those ordinary people, that group with a severe course case of the ordinaries, believe that God's resurrection power could work through them and make a difference. And the scripture says that same resurrection power that brought Jesus back from the dead is available to empower your life to a higher cause. A cause that orients itself towards people, touching people, encouraging them, serving them, building them up, pointing people to the living Christ and eternal life. And as you commit yourself to that vision, friends, it not only changes your life, but it changes the life of others. It changes the quality, it changes the character, the adventure quotient, and then you start feeling like a long shot and saying, God is using my life for something grand and good, and not much beats that. Well, on this day, the resurrected Christ says to you, I love granting long shots. I don't know what you're against. I don't know how you feel the odds are stacked against you. But Jesus says, I'm a long shot myself. Lay hold of the promise. Grab the promise. Take the long shot. Let's pray. Father God, as we close in prayer this morning, we are so grateful that there is still an empty tomb in Israel. That right now we are praying to a living Savior whose long shot resurrection defied all human odds. Better yet, we're grateful that we pray to a God who made resurrection power available to all of us gathered in this place. And God, I pray that on this day of hope, as we celebrate so many things, that all of us who need a shot, a long shot in our lives, would move towards that power, reach out for the hands that are reaching out to us, and those hands are your sons, and it's in his name that we pray.